Welcome. This is RAM Radio. RAM stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. The host of RAM Radio is Pastor John Coleman of Enter the Word, the Biblical Alternative. Using the Bible as his guide, Pastor John plans to equip the African-American Christian community with the tools that make the scriptures become clear for practical living and protection from the false teacher. Using the discipline of apologetics will open the eyes of the student of the Word to see God's absolute truth and the original intent of the scriptures. RAM Radio will challenge what you were taught about the Bible as well as your way of thinking and living in this world. God demands more from those who say, "I believe." Grab your Bible and pen and paper. Let's begin our study. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you so much, Mark Ramsey. RAM Radio, the webcast, the Biblical Alternative on this Thursday night, June 11th, 2009. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in my heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks me to give an account of the hope that is in me, yet with gentleness and with reverence." Hey friends, welcome to RAM Radio, the webcast. Mark Ramsey, my producer, is in the studio here with me tonight. Bob Klink is off. In a world of professing Christians, a true believer must classify themselves as those who are justified in righteousness by that position in Christ. It's a divine absolutism. And it must be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God, standing alone. Into the Word, RAM Radio, the Biblical Alternative, speaks to these kinds of issues. This is any other true Christian ministry, and there's so many bogus ones out there, you don't know which one is a true one. Has to go to God's Word as the highest standard. In other words, we're old-fashioned, we're traditionalists, we're biblicists, we go to the Bible. We cannot ever attempt to minister to anyone unless we define who we are by what we believe as we stay into the Word. That is what it's all about. It's a theme that I've been using for radio for so many years. I don't know how many years I've been using it, but I think it's a pretty good theme. There is about only one characteristic that we as believers can be instantly recognized for or as. Every true Christian is a discerner of what the truth is. That is a characteristic that all of us Christians are known by. By virtue of the Holy Spirit living within our hearts, we know what is right as well as what is wrong. Christians not walk around talking about, "Well, I wonder if I cut this baby out of me, if that's right." Stop. Shut up. Christians don't be walking around, and even if you have homosexual feelings, and everything, you know that's wrong. You know it is. Even if you just want to get high as you can get and do that, you know it's wrong. It is not just the fact that God has spoken, but that his words and his claims in the lives of those of us that call us believers rule and reign supreme. As we constantly affirm what we know, not what we think to be true. Because most of the Christian church today, that's why you tweaked about Obama, because you haven't thought nothing through. You're just tweaking, and you need to stop lying. Now, this trait in believers of knowing what the truth is also one of the areas that causes us to be persecuted, because since you claim you know what truth is and you're going to give all this truth, we live in a secular world who will constantly, and I want you to listen to me, constantly come against you and persecute you because they don't want you telling them what truth is. We live in a world where truth is relative. What is necessarily true for one particular group of people, one particular nation, one particular gang member, well, it's not necessarily true for that other set or that other clan out there. It appears that indeed we live in strange times. I mean, strange times. Tonight's webcast is really going to talk about that. We're living in strange times. These are times when one person's truth hails as truth without much evidence at all. You just start opening up your mouth and blabbering some trash, and it's supposed to be truth. I looked at Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin on the television this morning when I was getting up, and they was both blabbing lies to each other. And I said, look at this pathetic intellectual exchange between two nitwits supreme. But that's truth to them, because truth is relative. And these ideas have filled the church. Well, John, you can't talk about nobody else because that's their religion, and they have a right to have their religion. I'm not concerned about them having the right to have their religion, but don't call it truth. It's not true. Truth is not relative. There's a truth and there's a lie. There's a right and there's a wrong. There's a up, there's a down. There's a white, there's a black. There's a he said, there's a she said. And you're supposed to be able to figure out who's saying what. So these strange times that we're living in, these are times when one person's truth held supreme. The nation is known, this nation, our nation, is known for the ability not only to discern, but to lead in the field when other nations called us to defend their right to truth. In other words, America used to be known as a nation that knew what discernment was. Every nation in the world calling us, come and help us. They're killing us. They're doing this. We used to go over there, hooray for the red, white, and blue. And everybody knew that it was going to be some truth and some justice in the American way. You've seen the Superman, haven't you? They talk about Clark Kent. When he left Kryptonite and came to the fictitious globe called the planet Earth, it was truth, justice, and the American way. He wasn't in Europe. He was in America. That's why Superman is an American. My grandchild thinks it's his daddy, but that's another form of lies that people tell people. In other words, in the early days of heartfelt conviction, because there's no heartfelt conviction about anything these days. And I want to talk to you Christians because you're tweaking about stuff that you've taken to heart because you're Christians. We as Christians have to have heartfelt condition. Back in the day, most people in this country had that. If a teenage boy raped a girl, he went to jail. There was a heartfelt conviction that any type of crime against humanity had to be punished. And if it went unpunished, let me give you a prime example. In my community, in the black community in Los Angeles, we had a restaurant called the Creole Chef Cafe. This was right in the middle of the Crenshaw area. Crenshaw Mall was the first black mall built in the country. First black mall. And these Cajun Creole people came and opened up a nice little sandwich shop. It was just the bomb. You'd pay about almost $10 for a sandwich and a drink. But it was worth it because the food was good. He had real chefs working back there. Anyhow, I go over there to have dinner, and the place is all boarded up, trash all on the place. The lawn furniture is gone, everything. So I call a friend of mine whose children worked there behind the counter. And I said, what happened to that beautiful? He said, you didn't hear? Some thugs, street thugs, go in there while the patrons are eating, robs the place, jumps over the counter and beats one of the cooks in the head with the pistol. Well, of course, the owner of the shop just shut it down altogether. See, there's no longer any heartfelt conviction. When you try to do something, I understand the young man does catering out of his home, I guess, somewhere. But they put all of their business, all their money in that business, everything in it. When you got an employee beat in the head, you can't pay his hospitalization. You're done. So the man's ruined as a businessman. And why? Because these young brothers have no parents, and they see the place got money because people coming in there eating. It was one of the finest places in that part of town. Boarded that thing up. Friends, I want to tell you, Those were the days of heartfelt conviction when I grew up as a kid. We have now been turned over to the strange and different kind of tyrant. These tyrants that are running our lives today, they don't wear masks in order to charade their deception. With avid arrogance and misplaced aggression, they parade themselves in front of a nation that appears to be pointlessly drifting further into the abyss. I don't know why most of you can't see what the abomination is. I know why. So we can have an open discussion about this, and that's what we're going to have, an open discussion about these things. And I'm going to read from a few people's comments on this issue. I want to thank many of you that's been coming to my website. I'm glancing at it right now. The church and the home. Let me give you just a few minutes to endorse what I'm trying to do, because a lot of people misunderstand. I've been getting some emails. No, nothing happened at our facility that we got thrown out. Nothing happened like that. Our time ran out. That's all. And we've been blessed for, Mark, how long have we been in there?
At least, it's been a
long time, 3 or 4 years?
At least 4 years.
4 to 5 years we've been in that place.
Yeah.
Not once have we had to pay a month's rent. Not once. Because we were saying, after the turmoil dealing with these fake but preachers, fake ministries, and I'm telling you, just like that black restaurant that was doing very well in the community, that's what's happened to our churches. We've allowed tyrants and you know, scandalous people behind the pulpit, and a decent, discerning, thinking Christian would not continue to hail that place as a marketable place. Just like I would not lessen myself and go to some of these places that call themselves churches, ministries. I'm thinking about a ministry now that a dear friend of mine attends, and he loves his new little congregation and everything, but I'm not going to tell him why the pastor that was there left. I'm not going to tell him that, because he don't need to hear that. He doesn't need to hear it. He says, oh, you can tell me. I told him, I said, no, I can't, because you know that you are in a church that's involved in the same kind of mess that all of them get involved in. It's not that I'm against the local churches. I believe that there are some good church buildings that have nice, fine, Bible-believing Christians attending there. But in most cases, Mark, these churches are family-run churches.
Yes.
They're Bible churches. They're churches where the Bible is the authority. Now, where you have, see, when you have a pastor of a church, and then you got, because you were there with me at the vet, when you have a group of deacons, all they are slaves to get the work on the facility done. Obviously, the pastor can't do everything. He's there 6 o'clock in the morning doing everything anyhow, and the deacons all sleep. So, all right, you guys are deacons. Take care of purchasing money to buy this and buy that. No, they wanted to run ministry. That's playing church. God never called them to run no ministry. All God called them to do was clean the toilets.
Taking things out of order. A little bit of chaos, because most people don't want to do their job. They want to do other people's job.
Yeah.
That just takes things completely out of order. Takes the flow out of the church.
And when you look at a Bible church has, and I want you folks to listen to me, a Bible church has a Bible teacher, a leader that the Holy Spirit has chosen to be the instructor in that Bible study. I brought a Bible study last night. I was telling them about it on an earlier webcast that I did. I brought a Bible study last night that I presented for the first time in July of 1988. The Bible study was just as pertinent as it was when the day when I gave it in 1988. I mean, nothing changes. It's Bible. But you present it to another group of people, and maybe to the same group of people that didn't get it the first time. That's another thing that happened to the church. We have the church that is not gaining the lessons that they're supposed to gain in biblical Christianity. Now, since we're talking about discernment, and that's a little bit about it, and one of my students in the college before the semester ended, as a matter of fact, the last day of the semester, she gave me an article from CERC asking a question by Helen Vallos: was Christianity itself responsible for the Nazi Holocaust? I may get into that article during the end of the day. To let you know about what discernment is, Mark Ramsey brought me an interesting article today to the studio. You all know the 1960s rock stars, Sonny and Cher. I got you, babe. Well, they had a baby. In Los Angeles, this is from Associated Press, Chastity Bono. That sounds like a girl's name. Okay, Chastity Bono is having a sex change to become a man. That's Sonny and Cher's little girl. I remember when she was born. It was all over the popular recording artists and magazines. And
she was on their TV show all the time.
Yes, she was. Everybody remembered that cute little girl.
She, emphasis, was on their TV show
all
the time.
Well, she's still a man. I don't care if they do.
Still a woman.
Pull up. I mean, yeah, she's still a woman. See, got me confused. I don't care if they do put a penis on her. She's still a woman. It says a spokesman for Bono, born a girl to Sonny and Cher, says that he, and I don't know why this spokesman said that, the spokesman, see, that's what I'm talking about. He has no discernment at all. He, it's a woman. Talking about, he has made a courageous decision to honor his true identity. You know what? Let me tell you something.
In the first sentence, they're already changing the language, trying to make it a natural thing.
Let me tell
you, a natural fit.
Boy, you know what? You know what? That is why when God gets through judging America, the idiots in this country, I don't care if this fool does have a right